All right, how's everyone doing today? Good, good. So it's May Long Weekend. May Long Weekend. I'm so glad that you are here to hear what God has to say and just to experience Him today. And with this long weekend, really many things, right, they start up again. People are starting their vacations, cottages are opening, pools are probably opening soon. Today would probably be a good day to go for a swim. We have patio furniture that is coming out of storage. We have spring cleaning that is being tidied up. All these things are taking off. And for some of us here at Summit, May Long Weekend means that our softball season is starting up again next week. So we have two softball teams here. Renee and I have the privilege of coaching one of them. And to get ready for the season, we decided that last weekend would be a good time to start throwing a ball, getting some batting practice in, and taking some ground balls just to loosen up a bit, get that mindset in for softball again. And the practice went, it was fairly good. A few balls went way out, and we have no idea where they ended up, but that's fine. And the practice itself was good. It was the day after, right? You know that feeling. It was the day after where you wake up in the morning, your back is sore, and your arms are stiff, and your neck, you can't really move it. And I was just reminded that sitting at a desk compared to playing a sport uses very different muscles that next day. Now, I know that some of you are thinking, you are so young, just wait. Yeah, to which I just want to say, Lord Jesus, come back soon. So our season for our teams begins up next week. And some of us, like I said, a little sore, and our bodies are still kind of recovering. And it just reminded me that our bodies are pretty frail, right? Our bodies, we are a weak species, man. Like, God designed us to do a lot of things, and one of those things is recover, because we get sore quickly. And God made us very mobile. He made us very agile. He made us very able to do many, many things, but He definitely did not make it difficult for us to get hurt. Now, we can recover from many things, and we need that, right? We need that because we put our bodies through a lot. And just like I was reminded that God made our bodies kind of frail, I was reminded that He made us intentionally, right? He created us this way for a reason. He made and designed our bodies to function the way that they do. So what does that show us? What does that tell us? Now, one of those reasons is what we're going to unpack today. We're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, where Paul is writing to the Corinthian church. And Paul, of all people, understood how frail the human body really is. From his early years, when he was persecuting people, persecuting believers, and just doing whatever he could to wipe out the church, he understood how easy it was to kill people. To his later years, when after Jesus called him, right, after Jesus visibly appeared to him when he ironically went blind, that he took that persecution, right, physical persecution, and he felt, physical trials and beatings and stonings and a whole array of things that we can read about in Acts and through some of Paul's letters when he talks about it a little bit. Paul understood more than anyone that the human body alone is nothing significant. And he writes about it pretty clearly, I think, to the Corinthian church. So that's where I want to turn this morning, to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 to 12. He says this: "Now we have this light shining in our hearts." This is from the NLT, by the way. "We have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. And this makes it clear that our power is from God, not from ourselves. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven by despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. Yes, we live under constant danger of death because we serve Jesus, so that the life of Jesus will be evident in our dying bodies. So we live in the face of death, but, Paul says, this has resulted in eternal life for you. I love Paul's imagery here. I love it. The way that he intentionally portrays the body and the gospel, just completely opposite. And so let's unpack that a bit. He begins by saying, really, that we ourselves are like jars of clay. Now, it's a bit of an outdated metaphor, but I think when we think it through, we understand what he's trying to say here, what he's trying to get at. These clay jars, they were really inexpensive. They were common, just pretty ordinary things, right? They usually held pretty simple things inside of it. They break easily, but they're also replaced really easily. And it didn't matter if it had a chip in it, if you dropped it, if you threw it at a wall because you were really angry at your kids. Didn't matter. You can find them anywhere. They were cheap. They were simple. They were easy to replace. And so if we put that in modern terms for a second, I think what Paul was trying to say is we have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile Amazon shipping boxes. I think that's what he was saying. We are shipping boxes, right? Like, you can get them anywhere, and when they're used, we just throw them out into the recycling, hopefully. If they break or they get bent, who cares? Actually, if they get a little damaged, if they get a little beaten up, but what's inside is protected, then it's done its job, right? Then we almost applaud the box, and we say, you've done your job for protecting it, now get recycled and reused. And that's the picture, I think, that Paul kind of uses to describe our bodies. He basically says that we are just ordinary, fragile, expendable, replaceable containers. We're just a vessel. We are just a cardboard box. And I bet that's what you came to church to hear this morning. Now, it's kind of a humbling and sobering thought that the most valuable and prized thing that we have was created by God just to be a vessel, right? Just to be a container. Nothing special, nothing extraordinary, but he did it on purpose. Why would he do that? Aren't we his masterpiece? Right? Aren't we his prized possession, right? His children that he loves so deeply? Absolutely. And I don't want to deny that. Jesus loves you dearly, but he loves you for you, not your body. So God created us intentionally, Paul says. God created us this way on purpose, and he wanted to make it very clear that whatever he is doing in and through us, okay, the works, the miracles, the healings, whatever display of power that he chooses to show and act throughout us, that it all comes from him and not from us. If there was any chance that this power was coming from us, it'd be messy, it'd be unclear, right? But we know that God is at work. We know that he's doing many, many great things by his power because we know that we ourselves are just limited. We are simple. We are ordinary creatures. And because of that, it just points all the more clearly that whatever is happening is by God's doing and not by our own. God is the one who makes it all possible. And he chooses these shipping boxes to make that power just clear and just put it on display for all to see. And there are, I think there are two, so there are two main reasons that Paul says the body is just a clay jar. First, Paul's focus here is not so much on the container, but what's inside of the container. Right? Paul focuses on this great treasure, the light, the gospel, the new covenant, the opportunity to know God directly. Not through some other person mediating a relationship for us. And that, Paul explains, is a treasure of ultimate value. That is worth infinitely more than the boxes that contain it. Right? The containers that this light is displayed through. We are just jars of clay. We're just replaceable. We're common. But the treasure inside of that container is extraordinary, and it's worth giving up our lives for. And the second reason is this. Think about it. If people were able to fix their own relationships with God, think about what would happen if people inherently held even like a fraction of that same ability that Jesus had when he was raised from the dead. Right? If people were at all capable of doing this on their own, it would take away. It would take away from the beauty of the gospel. It would take away from the glory of God. If you store your most valuable items inside something that's equally valuable, it kind of takes it away from each other. And so in storing this valuable treasure inside these simple, simple, fragile clay jars, our focus goes away from the container and onto what's really important. Right? Our focus goes away from us and onto God. Like that small container in the cupboard is just a container until it has my favorite leftovers inside of it. Then it is much more important than that. And now that's a super basic example. So let me turn to the Bible to show you what that means. In the Old Testament, we have the Ark of the Covenant, right? And the Ark of the Covenant, before it was carrying stone tablets, it was very cool and all, but until God's law was held inside of it, until God's presence resided within it, it was just a container. Solomon's temple would have looked very cool in a way back in the day, but it was just a building until God resided within it. The disciples, even, they were more or less just ordinary people. Until that day when the Holy Spirit came to reside within them. And the same is true of us. This body is just a simple body until the gospel takes hold of it. Right? Until the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within us. Our bodies are just a container, but when the power of God takes hold of us and comes to dwell within us, that changes completely. And Paul goes on in this passage to talk about some pretty neat examples. He goes on to show the difference that this power has made in his own life. And we know from reading the book of Acts, and as I said earlier, that some of Paul's life, for a lot of Paul's life, he was going through some pretty serious stuff. And so he says this. He says, "We were hard-pressed on every side. We were perplexed, we were persecuted, and we were struck down." If we make a list of all the things that Paul went through, I think it would be enough to crush someone like me, right? It would be enough to make me feel like I'm just being abandoned by God. It would be enough for me to really be completely destroyed. But Paul says that it's because of Jesus' power that these things did not happen to him at all, right? These simple, fragile jars of clay, Paul says, withstood pressure and they held on through feeling perplexed, and they remained grounded through persecution, and they got up after being struck down time and time again because of God's great power that was at work within his life. And if that container was on its own, he says, it would have been easily crushed and destroyed. But instead, with God behind him, the opposite happened. He bounced right back up again. And the fact that Paul was not able to do that on his own is not is a total testimony to God's power and his willingness to share it with us. Right? Paul's life's mission was to share that testimony of the power of God in his life with other people and to help them see that they too can come to know God in this incredible and profound way and to have God's power at work in and through their own lives. And Paul went to great lengths to show that to other people. But at the same time, Paul makes it clear that that is not a simple walk in the park. He shows us that we have to be willing to kind of let go of our material bodies. He shows us that though we need to steward what God has given us well and care for what God has placed in our care, that whatever happens to our containers, whatever happens to our jars of clay, our shipping boxes, doesn't ultimately matter as long as the treasure inside of it is put on display for all to see. Now, really, there's only one thing that lasts forever anyway, right? And it's not the physical, material things. We know that our bodies will fade. They'll be pressured. They will wear down. They'll crack. They will fade. They will even be taken away from, or they can even be taken away from you. But they will never be able to take the gospel away from you. They will never be able to take God's power away from you. They will never be able to take our identity as children of God away from you, no matter what happens. And so Paul puts this idea out there that if we know that it can all be taken away from us, let's stop worrying about that so much. Right? He says, we always carry around in our body the death of Jesus. And it's just a simple rephrasing of when Jesus told his disciples to pick up their cross daily and follow him. A simple rephrasing of when Paul, in another letter, tells us to die to ourselves. He says, we live in the face of death. And Paul physically lived that. Some of our brothers and sisters in this very room have physically lived that. I know that we are a ways away from like the possibility of experiencing that here in Canada, thankfully. But Paul is telling us that he has put it all on the line. Right? The most valuable thing that he physically has isn't of great value to him at all. Because he understands that nothing can get in the way of God's power being on display for all to see. And for others to experience and know that power for themselves. We live in the face of death, Paul says. But this has resulted in eternal life for you. Paul says, we put it all on the line and look at what that has resulted in. Right? It's because Paul wasn't afraid of that physical container being a bit beaten and bruised and cracked or stained. Right? He wasn't afraid of that pressure that was coming down from all sides. He wasn't afraid of stepping out into the unknown and being perplexed by what was going to happen next. He wasn't afraid of the mockery and the questions and the persecution. He wasn't afraid of the interrogations. He wasn't even afraid of the storms that came upon him at sea. It's because Paul wasn't afraid of all these things that the community in Corinth was able to come to know Jesus personally. It's because Paul put Jesus' life on display in his dead jar of clay that millions of people would come to know and have Jesus personally in their lives. And Paul says it doesn't end there if we put that treasure on display in our lives for all to see as well. Right? It's a powerful image that a simple jar of clay brings. And I think it goes even a little further than that. He gives us three amazing takeaways from these pictures that we can learn to, that when we learn to apply them in our own lives, will have profound consequences. He says, first, we need to empty this fragile jar of clay of ourselves. Right? We said already that jars of clay are very fragile, and it's a very relatable picture. Right now, more than ever, I think we understand how fragile our human bodies are, and not just our bodies, but our psyches, right? Like our emotions, mentally. And so with the development and the continued development of psychology and the breaking down of stigmas around things like mental health, we're really beginning to understand more and more that every jar of clay has something that's cracked, that's chipped, that's broken. And it's amazing that we're coming to a place where we don't judge or classify people based on those things anymore. But isn't it even more amazing that even though we have these broken and cracked and crumbled jars of clay, that God still wants to use them? He doesn't ask us to fix ourselves. He doesn't ask us to be perfect. He doesn't ask us to know all the answers. He wants to use us right here, right now, in your as-is condition. When Renee and I go to IKEA to look for something, the first place that we go is the as-is section, because we don't really care if it's got a little scratch on it or if it's been sat on by thousands of people in the showroom already. We can clean that up a little bit. Right? We don't really care if it's not in perfect condition for us to use it. We'll take it as is, and God wants to use you as is. He wants to begin to use you as is. And at the same time, I think we understand that just because the stigmas around all these conditions are gone, that doesn't mean that we don't need to be mended. Right? We understand that we need help, that we need healing, that we want these broken jars of clay to somehow be pieced back together. God wants to begin to use us in our as-is condition, but that doesn't mean that he will leave us this way. Jesus desperately wants to begin to shape you. He desperately wants to begin to change you and mold you. He wants to heal you, but in order for him to do that, we have to empty ourselves and surrender to him. And so, really, there's a glaringly obvious question that Paul is asking us this morning. He says, will you empty yourself? Because only when we empty ourselves will there be enough room for God to fill us to overflowing. Only when we empty ourselves will there be enough room, or will there be room for God to fill us with himself to overflowing. There's an interesting story in the Old Testament that I was reminded of as I was preparing for this out of 2 Kings chapter 4. The prophet Elisha was traveling around with his disciples doing whatever it was that God was telling him to do and communicating to whoever it was that God was asking him to talk to when a woman meets him, total despair. And she shares with him about how her husband, who also was a devoted follower of God, passed away, and how the people that they were indebted to have come to collect those debts. And as payment, they wanted to take her sons as slaves. And so now she's crying out to Elisha because she understands that this is essentially more or less a death sentence for her. So she cries out to Elisha and she says, help me, do something. And Elisha says, how can I help you? Like, what do you have? What can we do to make this work? And she says, we have nothing, nothing at all. All that I have is this little jar of olive oil. So then Elisha tells her to do something really interesting. He says, you have a small jar of olive oil. Cool. Go and gather as many jars as you can, right? Scrounge your house, go to your neighbor's house, go to your neighbor's house, wherever you can find it, collect as many jars as she can possibly can. And I think if I was one of her sons, I would have thought that this guy was a little nuts. If I have just a little bit of water in a cup, I'm not going to dig through my recycling and my neighbor's recycling and my neighbor's recycling to find as many cups as I can to try to share that little bit into all these cups. But they did it. They collected as many jars as they possibly could, and then they closed the door behind them, and using this small jar of olive oil that they had, they began to pour it into the other containers, into the other jars. And just when they thought that it was going to run out, they noticed that the jar was full. And so they put it aside, they grabbed the next one, and they kept filling it up. Right? That one filled up too. They grabbed the next one and the next one and the next one. And the woman said, grab me another jar. And all of a sudden her son said, there are no more jars. They're all full. And that's when the oil stopped flowing out of that first original little jar. It's mind-boggling. And I can't imagine what it must have been like to be in that room and to watch all of this unfold. To watch this little jar fill up dozens of other jars around the room. God asks us to empty ourselves so that we can make room for His treasure. He wants us to surrender ourselves to Him so that the gospel can take complete root in our lives. He wants us to willingly die to ourselves so that His life can flow through us, in us and through us, to overflowing, and so that He can use us to pour into the lives of other people. This woman, this widow, had a decision to make. She would have looked like a bit of a fool if she had gone to all of her neighbors' houses, collected all of their jars, and then started pouring it, and oh, what do you know, it runs out after two drips because it was a little jar. And so she had to make a decision. Would she allow God to answer her prayer? Would she give Him the opportunity to do that? Would she allow God to begin to fill this jar to overflowing? Would she step out in faith following Elisha's direction and do what she was asked to do? She had to empty her own jar in order for others to be filled over many times over. And so in this letter to the Corinthians, Paul poses another question to us that kind of runs along the lines of this story. He says, will you allow God to fill you with Himself? Will you allow God to give you true life? Will you allow God to put the gospel, His greatest treasure, on display for all to see? But there's one more thing that this story shows us. Right? The story of Elisha and the widow shows us this incredible picture that is directly related to what Paul is trying to tell us. That only when we empty ourselves and then allow God to fill us can we share with others the treasure that God has given us. And it's almost counterintuitive. Right? We don't really understand the idea of something being limitless. It's hard for us to wrap our minds around. We don't really understand how something can't ever run out. We understand, for example, that the universe is expanding past beyond what we currently know, But the first question that I come to ask is, how much further can it go? Right? We see that Niagara Falls pumps out a ton of water every single second, but we understand that that water is not limitless. Right? If those sources dry up, so do the falls. But from Paul's examples, he shows us that there were many, many, many times that he came close to throwing in the towel because he had reached his physical limit. Right? He simply couldn't go on any longer. He was pressed on every side. He was perplexed. He was hunted and he was struck down. And he says, if I was doing these things on my own power and my own strength, he would have reached his limit 100 times over. But Paul wasn't doing any of these things on his own strength. And he says that through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus, right? Our own physical limitations so that the life of Jesus may be seen in our bodies as well. Jesus's overflowing and life-giving presence. Paul understood that when we have Jesus's life and power at work within us, he sustains us to go far beyond what we are capable of doing ourselves. He sustains us far beyond the limitations of these fragile jars of clay. And it is out of that power that is at work within us that we can share with others what God has done, right? What God is doing and what God will continue to do. Paul didn't keep that for himself, but he shared it with others out of the overflowing of what Jesus was giving to him. He continuously emptied himself so that Jesus could take hold of everything that he had and be made known to the world around him. He allowed the gospel to be put on display in that jar of clay. And so he asks us, will you do the same? Will you join me as we surrender ourselves to God's power, right? And allow his presence and his power to mend these broken jars, to fill them and use them to fill others out of the overflowing of our own. Friends, Jesus doesn't just want to give you life. He wants to use you to bring life to other people. He wants to use you to show the world around you the amazing things that he can do through you and in you, but we have to let him and we have to make room for him. He wants to be on display in your empty container for the world to see. Will you let him do that? Let me pray. Jesus, we see in Paul's life how much you sustained him time and time again. And Jesus, we know that we ourselves are limited and we ourselves are just a cracked jar of clay. And so, Jesus, we ask that as we empty ourselves, that you would come to reside within us, that you would fill us to overflowing. God, not just for our own benefit, not just for the building up of ourselves, but for the building up of your kingdom so that we can share that out of that overflowing with other people. Would you use us like that little jar of olive oil that the widow had? Would you use us and pour out of us, out of our abundance, into these other empty jars around us? Would you use us to share about your power and your goodness and your gospel with the people that we come in contact with. Jesus, as we go and do that, and as we do these things, we will be pressed, we will be perplexed, we might even be hunted down a little bit. But Jesus, we are prepared for that. Because we know that these jars of clay are just containers. They're just vessels for something so much greater and so much bigger. And so, like Paul, we say, would you use us however you need to use us to share about you with other people, to share that good news, that treasure beyond us. Jesus, we love you, and we just surrender to you today. Amen.